I'd like to welcome everybody to the Talking the Tide podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Lewis.
And I'm JPC, the Alabama Cowboy.
Who's already got me started, my God. Anyways, today we're going to be talking about the upcoming SEC games for the week eight. I don't know what you would honestly call it, but week eight. But before we get started, make sure you hit that subscribe button or follow, depending on the program you're listening or watching this from. We released an Alabama video about football, basketball, athletics, or recruiting at least every other day. So anyways, let's go ahead and get started here. Week eight, week four or five, whatever you want to call it. Anyways, we're going to be talking about the SEC games.
What's up with the week zero crap they used to do?
I have no idea.
That's the most spastic thing that ESPN ever done.
Week zero. So, I mean, this is considered, yeah, week eight is what they're showing on ESPN as well. So anyways, we're going to be talking about the Auburn at Ole Miss, Alabama at Tennessee, Kentucky at Missouri, and South Carolina LSU games, and give our predictions. The predictions, I mean, we already gave ours for the Alabama Tennessee. We'll just do win or lose, and then we'll talk about the other ones a little bit more in depth. So anyways, let's go ahead and get started with the first game at 11 a.m. actually on the SEC Network, which is Auburn at Ole Miss. I call this the battle of the dumpster fires at this point, seeing who can basically implode the fastest. I'll be honest with you. When you look at the records here, Ole Miss should have another possible loss. Kentucky missed an extra point to let Ole Miss win in overtime. And then you have Auburn who had a fumble, then threw the ball backwards and somehow didn't count against Arkansas and won the game on a field goal. You're possibly looking at a 1-3 Auburn team here. And yeah, same thing with Ole Miss. Ridiculous. What are you expecting to see out of this dumpster fire game?
Well, I wouldn't really call Ole Miss quite a dumpster fire yet, but I think Auburn's approaching that status. Ole Miss, like I said, they had a lucky win against Kentucky. And then, of course, Auburn did the same thing, except they actually cheated because that's what Auburn does. And so it should be the battle of the teams with two phantom wins.
That's good. I like yours better, hands down.
But yeah, and Ole Miss, to me, they had a great game against Alabama, and they were probably a little jacked up after that game and probably read the headlines and the tea leaves a little too much and went into that game and put everything on the line against Alabama, and Arkansas was able to game plan for them, and that's what they done. And Arkansas is a much better team, so
yeah.
I think Ole Miss will get back on track this week, and I think if Auburn ain't careful, they better watch it, because if the Ole Miss team shows up that played Alabama, Auburn could be in for a long night. I mean, Ole Miss could easily put up 48, maybe even 55 on Auburn.
Yeah, if they put 48 on Alabama, and Alabama has an average at best defense this year, let's be honest with you. Per the rankings, per the projections, it is actually above average. We are in the top, like, supposedly 30% of the league. I don't see it, but either way, 100% think that this game can go either way. I have been yelling and screaming since last year that Bo Nix is an average quarterback at best. He's overrated. For God's sakes, get Cam Newton's brother in there to take over for Bo Nix. If Bo Nix starts this game, no, bro, don't even get me started. Bo Nix is the most overrated quarterback right now in college football, hands down.
Don't tell him that, man. Don't be telling them that.
Anyway,
I want him to play Bo Nix. Don't be putting Cam Newton's brother in there, man. That brings back, man, that still traumatizes me.
Traumatizes all of us. Up by like 21 points at halftime. Anyways.
Man, you just hurt my heart, man. Don't be doing that.
Anyways, Ole Miss coming off of Kentucky. It was Kentucky, right? I mean, we're talking six interceptions that game? That was the Arkansas game, right? Ole Miss, I think it was at Arkansas, if I remember correctly. And
where's this game going to be at with Auburn and Ole Miss?
It's going to be at Ole Miss.
Okay.
So, like I said, this game can go either way. Now, here's the thing, though. You don't really have a home field advantage per se. They try to project it with a fake crowd noise, which is – I get it. They're not doing that for the fans on TV. They're actually doing it for the players to make it more normal. Because, you know, you play one way with the crowd all your life, and all of a sudden you come into a, you know, stadium where you hear a pin drop, basically. Anyways, I get the point. Either way, who you taking Who are you taking at Auburn at Ole Miss? I don't need a score projection, but who are you taking?
Well, I think Ole Miss is going to show up and have a little more offense this time. So I guess you'd maybe call this a slight upset, but I'm going to take Ole Miss. I'm going to say Ole Miss 38 and Auburn 28.
All right, well, I don't need that, but here's mine. Bo Nix, most overrated QB, does go into Oxford, does beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss self-imploded against a team that just, I don't know, like, it wasn't Arkansas, it was Kentucky who had the six, right? Was it Kentucky? They had the six,
Oh,
hang
yes.
on.
It was
Yeah,
Arkansas.
it was Arkansas. I don't know why I have that game. For some reason, I have the Kentucky stuck in my head. Either way, I think Auburn does go into Ole Miss and Oxford and does get the win. I don't think it's going to be by much. I can't see him coming off a six-pick game, stagnant, can't move the ball against at least an athletic Auburn defense per se. I'm not going to say they're good, but I'm going to say athletic. Same thing, you're still going to have to stop Williams, the wide receiver for Auburn. You still got your work cut out for you in this game. If you're Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin isn't his first year, so I'll give him that. So, anyways, moving on, we already talked about this one for the most part. Number two, Alabama at Tennessee. Disaster. We're not going to talk about this anymore. Who? Because we've already talked about this in other podcasts. If you haven't already, make sure you go out and check that one out. We did a pregame and all that stuff for it. Anyways, who are you taking at number two, Alabama at Tennessee? Who's smoking the cigars at the end of the day? Because that's what it comes down to.
Well, I'm gonna make it short and sweet. Like you said, we already touched on this. Alabama, Tennessee's key to this game, and it's pretty captain obvious that they need to be able to stay close early. If Tennessee can stay close the first half, then they might have a chance to, at least make it look competitive. But I don't think that's gonna happen. I think Alabama's gonna get up early, and we probably won't beat them as bad because Jeremy Pruitt is a former disciple that Saban actually likes.
Yeah.
I don't think he likes Kirby too much, but I think it'll end up 49-17.
All right, so obviously I'm taking Alabama in this game. No disrespect to Tennessee. Just kidding. It's all the disrespect in the world. If I could, whatever. We'll get past that. Anyways, Alabama's smoking the cigars at the end of the day, like I said. We plan on next week. I haven't told JPC, but we're going to do a whole podcast on the tradition of the cigar smoking and everything else. I wanted to get it done this week, but we had so much going on. Either way, Alabama will win. They're going to win big. I think Alabama does run the score up. I think that Mac Jones has possibly another 400-yard game, which, by the way, if you haven't heard, he's already broken like every Alabama record. So much for Tua being the greatest and everything else, and Jalen and all these recent quarterbacks, and then Mac Jones waits his turn, comes in as a redshirt junior, and just obliterates every single freaking passing record Alabama has. On top of, I get it, he has some of the best receivers possibly that's ever stepped on the campus at Alabama. But it's still not the fact that he's still averaging like 13 yards of completion, and most of his TDs are like 80 yards down the field.
Well, if Saban allows Sarkisian getting his ear again like he did in the last game against Georgia, where he actually let him try to drive down the field with just 28 seconds, which surprised the hell out of me. If he allows Sarkisian getting his ear, you're right. They'll probably put 63 up.
Yeah, his game could get really nasty. This could be the game where Jeremy Pruitt loses his job, to be completely honest with you. Like you said earlier, Tennessee could get beat bad enough to where not only will he be on the hot seat, but this whole team unravels the rest of the season. They have a hard schedule going on from this point as well, so like most of the SEC.
And in reality, the issue is the pumpkin head that's been behind the
Yeah,
scenes the whole time,
former.
Phil. His pumpkin headed ass is the one that needs to go.
Yeah, we already know he's the puppeteer. We've already talked about that as well. If Jeremy Pruitt goes, he goes with him. And my God, I know it doesn't look like it right now, but imagine if Mike Leach turns that Mississippi State program around and does something, and then Tennessee's just back to square one. Okay, I'm going to call it now. I love doing this already, but I'm going to say that if Tennessee does fire Jeremy Pruitt, you would have to be the dumbest people in the SEC to not go after Mark Stoops.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, considering they did to come into Knoxville and basically pull your little puke orange skirt down in front of everybody and God, yeah.
I mean, Mark Stoops not only beating you, he's beating you badly. And Mark Stoops with no talent, no recruiting, by the way. Kentucky is a basketball school. They don't get football recruits, but he wins. He sends his teams, he sends his teams to bowl games. Jeremy Pruitt, not so much. Like,
Oh.
he can't win the games. Like, it just, it's over and over again. And how crazy would it be to pass on? I mean, I'm calling it now. Or even Heupel. You got to look at him. You got to look at the Memphis coach. You got to look. There is a bunch of good coaches out there right now.
That could be an entire podcast for another day, the possible
You're
replacement of
right.
Jeremy if it happens. But if it does, is I'm gonna go ahead and throw a gem out there real quick and then we'll move on. But Bill Clark at UAB
Yeah.
is a diamond in the rough.
Yes. We actually called that one last year.
That's right.
Yeah, so anyways, moving on. Kentucky at Missouri. Kentucky's defense, my Lord, man. Like 9 games in a row with the pick six. They possibly could have, they're definitely the top three SEC defenses right now. Missouri's offense is starting to find itself all of a sudden. Brand new head coach, brand new system, brand new quarterback. This is just what happens. Unfortunately, they faced Alabama first and just got throttled by the first team. Obviously, it only ended at like 38-19, but Alabama did pull out Mac Jones way too early, which we already talked about, especially the offense. And everybody rose on this Bryce Young train the moment he came in, and he looked like a freshman, thank God, and it finally went away immediately. So, either way, Kentucky at Missouri, what are you looking for in this game, and who wins?
Well, Kentucky, regardless of the coach, when they show a little bit of success, has been known to lose a game or two they're not supposed to. Like they're really
Yes.
bad about losing to like Vanderbilt or somebody like that when they're not supposed to. They just had a big win against Tennessee, and I will say that that game was a little bit misleading because early in the game there was 2 6-picks that put Tennessee behind the 8 ball and just made the Avalanche just continue to flow. And Gaetano already has a weak
Oh my
self-confidence
Lord.
level.
Yeah.
And so it don't take much to rattle that guy, especially since Jeremy Pruitt continually gets in his face. I mean, I really don't like the way he treats Gaetano, to be honest with you. So I think Kentucky's going to have a letdown after that game. And like I said, their offense didn't really put up 34 points. I think Missouri will sneak this one out, and I'll take Missouri 27 and Kentucky 24.
All right, so I mean, to be honest with you, first of all, I want to touch on this. First of all, Kentucky fired Tennessee's defensive line coach in that game. Let's just go ahead and throw that out there real quick.
That's a sign of desperation by Jeremy
Yeah.
Pruitt. I really don't like that move.
Okay, you say Jeremy Pruitt, I say Philip Fulmer telling Jeremy Pruitt.
We might have.
Because somebody has to lose their head for that game. You can't lose 30, what was it, 34-7 and something not come out of that when you're supposed to win by double digits, easily by 17. So, yeah, something has to happen from that. Kentucky at Missouri, I'm taking Missouri. And you were 100% right, by the way, when it comes to Kentucky winning big and falling short. Look what happened last year when they beat Florida for the first time in like 900 years. They fell short the rest of the season.
That's right.
It's just something that Kentucky loves doing. It's something that Vanderbilt, which is expected, but Kentucky can't even win the little games after they win a big game. So either way, I'm not going to give a score prediction. Like I said, it's going to be Missouri, Kentucky and Missouri. I'm going to have to give it to Missouri on this one. All right, moving on. South Carolina at LSU. Man, you're talking about two programs going in the opposite direction. South Carolina at the beginning of the season like crap. Now they're rising from the ashes, and LSU look like crap, and well, they're still crap. So, tell me what you want to look for in the South Carolina at LSU game.
Well, South Carolina had a shaky start. They played both the first two games very competitively, but then the medicine that usually cures you is when you play someone like Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's always been a medicine for someone to get out of their funk. And once they beat Vanderbilt, it seemed like it built their confidence a little bit. And then when they played Auburn and got a few lucky breaks and beat them for the first time since 1933, I think it's going to set South Carolina in motion, not to win the SEC East, but at least to have a pretty good season by South Carolina standards. I think they'll probably win this game against LSU just because they do have all the issues. I mean, they've basically lost everything, and now they've lost their quarterback for this season.
So yeah, let me go ahead
Think
and.
South Carolina will beat LSU. I think South Carolina
Yeah.
beat them probably, I'd say, 35-24.
So what he's speaking to, and I is 100% right. Many people know this, but Miles Brennan will not be in this game. TJ Finley, the true freshman, will be starting. As if LSU did not have enough issues, they will be without their starting quarterback. Against the South Carolina team, who was down against Auburn, by the way, and just stormed back to win the game at the end. My Lord, I don't understand what happened in that game. I mean, Auburn was up by like, it seemed like 21 the entire game, and all of a sudden South Carolina just, just stormed back. But either way, there is no, I'm telling you right now, if LSU does lose this game, which I do predict they do, I do think that South Carolina will, excuse me, go into Baton Rouge and win this game. No home field advantage. Let's be
Yeah.
real. Baton Rouge is not going to be what it normally is. So if you're
They have
ever
that
going to
home field
beat,
advantage for Bill.
yeah, I mean, if you're ever going to beat LSU to LSU at this point, this is the time. You're in the year that it needs to happen because guess what? There's nobody there. I mean, okay, there's 20,000 people. That's not home field advantage anymore. You
And a
can't.
fun
Go ahead.
fact that you looked up while we were off the air, since they are making history by beating Auburn,
Yeah.
is they haven't beat LSU since 1994, so this
Yes.
is sort of a trend for South Carolina.
Yeah, they're on the year. LSU is 18-2-1 against South Carolina. The win's coming in 1930, which was I think 17 or 7-6, and then 1994, and I think they won like 18-17. So, by the way, South Carolina's never beaten LSU by more than 1 point to put things in perspective, and they've only beaten them twice since. Well, like when they first started playing in the 20s. So, my Lord, this is, like you said, another record here. This is a game to watch for many reasons. You have two coaches who were already on the hot seat. Will Muschamp, who once again, I mean, my God, every year we say the same thing. Will Muschamp's on the hot seat. Every year this happens. And somehow he comes out with these big wins against teams. He gets them to a bowl game and wins in the bowl game. And we're like, okay, you can't fire him. On the other end, LSU gives Ed Orgeron a contract to pay him $9 million a year because he went out and got Joe Burrow. We've already talked about this before, but you've got to mention it again. Pulling the same thing that a Chizik did with Cam
Yep.
Newton, same thing that a freaking Jimbo Fisher did with Jameis Winston. You have these one-year wonders coming in, winning a championship, giving these coaches fat checks. I mean, what has Gustin done since, or Chizik done since his? Nothing. What has freaking Jimbo done since his? Nothing. I mean, waiting to see it. Ed Orgeron now is playing a one-style defense. One coverage. Not two, one. The last time he did that was his first year coaching at LSU, not as the head coach. So you got to put things into perspective. He is no longer about winning games. He's about saving his job at this point.
Well, this could be a Chizik type game for Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
If South Carolina, who's gaining a lot of confidence right now, if they go in there, and I think I was being nice actually saying 35-24. If they go into LSU and blow them out, that might turn the tide, because people are like, well, you won national championship, you can't just start talking about firing him already. I think if he gets blowed out in Baton Rouge by South Carolina, who ain't beat him since 1994, it might not get his job, but it'll start the murmurings for next season. Next season will be the key for Ed Orgeron.
Let me tell you something right now. Ed Orgeron may have the luckiest timing of all time. Here's why. It's not because you won a national championship so you won't get fired. It's because your team got caught paying players, and you're the only person that didn't know about it. So if this is the case and they take that national championship away from last year, this could be Ed Orgeron pleading for his job and saying, let me out of here before the cookies crumble. Because, yes, LSU self-imposed themselves with a joke, eight scholarships, recruiting evaluations cut down, recruiting visits cut down, whatever. Probably penalized the baseball team in some way, like most of them do, for some weird, I don't understand that strange reason that ends up happening. But, And then what happens? Because yes, the big booster that paid out to the player's father was less miles, but you can't ignore the fact that Odell Beckham Jr. walked on that field and was passing out cash to players. It's not like these players had contracts. They're going to the NFL yet. They didn't have agents. You know what I mean? That is illegal. Two class one infractions, folks. Guess what? That's the harshest infractions that you could possibly get on a program. The last time that many infractions actually occurred, class ones, by the way, was SMU. Look what happened to them. Death penalty. So I'm telling you right now, if they don't at least consider taking away the wins, at least during the less miles era, people will be throwing shit storms. I'm telling you right now, people aren't paying attention that much right now because LSU's downplaying what's going on because it's self-imposed. But they said later this year the NCAA will release its evaluations and its additional, if any, penalties. There's no way they're accepting that.
There's a conglomerate of facts here that could save Orgeron's job. All the stuff he lost, the two coordinators, the star football players, and then the COVID-19 shortened season. People can say, well, this season wasn't a real fair way to gauge him since he's having to play every SEC school and they don't have any easy games in between to try to remedy the situation with their quarterback situation.
What happens if this goes 2 years in a row?
That's what I'm saying. Next year, there'll be no excuses unless we have a another big COVID outbreak of some sort.
I don't think there is an
Next
excuse.
year, I think, will be his judgment day. It'll be just like Chizik. They didn't fire Chizik. I don't think they fired him immediately that following season. I think it
No,
was the next
2 years.
season after.
It was 2 years.
Yeah, it was 2 years after the championship. So next year will be a telltale for old Eddie O.
But we're not here to sit here and talk about that all night. But this is a big deal. These games, I'm telling you right now, the games that are being played this weekend are more important than what people think they are. I don't think people are paying attention enough. Auburn with Gene Chizik, Lane Kiffin making his first year. He's making a run for his money. He threw everything out on the table against Alabama and gave them a hell of a game. The last time he played Alabama was Tennessee, and we all know what happened there. Mount Cody with the two blocked field goals, and we won 9-6 and had every Alabama fan sweating because that was the first national championship we had underneath Saban. The last one before that was Gene Stallings.
That's 12-10.
12 to 10. Why am I thinking 9-6? Anyways, 12 to 10. Yeah, that's right, because they go to one by one. Then you're looking at, Jeremy Pruitt. If does he get smoked out by Alabama? Philip Fulmer once again being embarrassed by Alabama after trying to bury him already with what he did. And then Mark Stoops coming in and beating a new Missouri quarter. Once again, this is Mark Stoops, his promotion year. I'm telling you right now, Mark Stoops is not staying in Kentucky after this year. If Kentucky keeps going the way they're going, once again, how many more years does he need to prove that he can coach? This is it. He needs to leave Kentucky, which he will, and he will get a big time job. I'm not saying Kentucky's not big time, but let's be real, it's a basketball school. Then Will Muschamp. If he beats LSU, he's definitely safe for the rest of the year. And Ed Orgeron, like you said, people will start talking really quick. So, a lot can come out of this weekend with only four SEC games, by the way.
And we just call this Impact Week.
Yeah, well, it's exactly what this is. Week eight, Impact Week, the COVID outbreak of the coaches. my Lord, man. And by the way, Big Ten football is coming back this week. You have, okay, I'm going to be real because I got to ask you this question. Do you honestly think Ohio State versus Nebraska is going to be like the prime time game to watch?
Is it?
People, no. It's going to
I
be a
mean, is
blowout.
what time is I'm talking about what time is it scheduled for?
I'm talking about just in general. Let me look it up the actual time. Let's
As it
see
is scheduled
here.
for prime time, then I guess it is the prime time game.
I'm talking about in your eyes as a prime time game. Let me look up top 25, I guess.
Since Nebraska's 0-0 and they still got somewhat of a traditional name, I guess they consider a prime time game until Nebraska shows everybody once again that they're not back either. Just like Texas ain't back and Tennessee's not back. If Nebraska, for some reason, could upset
Oh
Ohio
my gosh.
State, that would be
Oh my
great. I would like to see Nebraska back because we've seen Ohio State. Ohio State's never been gone. So it'd be nice to see Nebraska step back up, another traditional power besides Michigan that could, buck up to Ohio State.
So, Nebraska at Ohio State's at 11 a.m. on Fox, definitely not a primetime game. I expect
11 a.m.
that. Yeah, I thought that's definitely gonna be a blowout. I honestly thought that would have been a primetime game.
Hate 11 a.m. games. I think
So,
they're blasphemous.
the primetime game to me
Blasphemous.
is number 18 Michigan versus number 21 Minnesota at 6:30 p.m. Penn State plays Indiana, Rutgers and Michigan State. Illinois at Wisconsin, which is what, a Friday game? Yeah, it's a Friday game. Tonight, actually. Why is it not? Oh, it's live right now, but for some reason it's not showing the score. And then we got Maryland at Northwestern. Excuse me, Iowa at Purdue. Yeah, the Big Ten's finally back. Pac-12, I think, comes back in 2 more weeks. They're going to play 6 games.
Here's a
How do you
question.
even consider them? Go ahead.
Pac-12 is only playing six. I thought
Yeah,
they was playing
six.
seven.
Oh, well, I thought it was six. I don't know. Six or seven. Who cares? Either
It
way,
doesn't
there's no way it's enough games.
seven games ain't enough compared
No.
to the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 all playing 10 or
Or
more.
more, yeah.
We're playing 10. I think maybe the Pac-12 or not Pac-12, but the
The
Big 12 might be
ACC.
playing 11.
Yeah, the ACC, I think, is playing 10 or 9. I think they're playing 10. But
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. If Ohio State loses any game this season, there's no way they get into the playoffs with only playing that many
Big
games.
10 has sort of set itself up for destruction because they're
Yeah.
playing eight straight games. They
Yeah,
don't
with
have a
no
bye
bye
week.
week. Yeah, I know that's
They
brutal.
better hope there's no kind of COVID outbreak because,
Yeah. You can't
yeah.
have a Florida and LSU.
If you don't play, and I'm still not sold on eight games, but if you don't play a full eight games, I don't think you should be allowed in the playoffs because that's not fair to the other teams that played
No.
10 or 11 games.
No, you're 100% right. The only reason they're even doing the 8 straight is to make up the gap for not playing the 10, which I don't think is fair. And I don't care if you do 8 straight, it's still not fair to me. But I'll tell you one thing. If you do have an LSU Florida incident where you can't play a game, there is no, I don't care if Ohio State goes 7-0. If they have to wait out a game and they can't play it, I don't think you should be. I think the minimum amount should be at least 8, and they better be blowouts. Like blowouts. Like if they take any games off and they only win by 3 or 5 or lose to Purdue or whatever they did, like was Purdue like 2.5 years ago when they lost to them, anything like that, well, sorry, but you're not getting in. Michigan, I don't want to talk about Jim Harbaugh. Who cares about him? I'm tired of hearing his mouth. He'll be gone from Michigan at the end of this year if he does not win out. Sorry. COVID or no COVID, I don't care. His khakis need to leave Michigan.
He couldn't
So,
have any of his little ass clown satellite camps in Yugoslavia or
yeah.
Croatia or wherever he has them
Trying to get his
nowadays.
punters.
In the backwoods with the tigers and the lions
Oh, my God.
and the baboons chasing him around. I don't know, man. Everybody thought that was pretty cute when he was doing that, and that sort of makes him look like an idiot now.
Yeah, no, you're right. So that's really it for this week. Here it is. The score just popped up. Wisconsin's beating Illinois 28-7. Fully expected. They just started the third and they're up 28-7. And one more thing, because the only reason I'm going to mention this game is because so many posts I've seen, like, oh, can Syracuse make this a game against Clemson? Folks, Syracuse just got ran over by Liberty. Please spare me the Clemson beating up on Syracuse. They couldn't even beat Liberty.
There's nothing like getting beat by 17 points by Jerry Falwell University.
Oh my Lord. So spare me the crying about, or the hoopla, or whatever you want to call it, about, oh, we're gonna hammer Syracuse. Yeah, I
Okay.
bet you are.
You better.
Yeah, I'd hope you are. I mean, for Lord, if they make this a game and they couldn't beat Liberty, yeah, you better be a little bit worried. So, anyways,
Maybe
get on
Liberty might.
that. Liberty's holding up the "We want Bama" signs now, I guess.
Liberty Flames. Syracuse's ass went up in flames.
Yeah, you're right on that one. Anyways, got anything else you want to talk about before we get off here?
That's it.
All right, thanks for listening to Talking the Tide podcast today. Like I said, if you haven't already, make sure you hit that follow button if you're on Spotify or iTunes or anything else, or and the subscribe button if you're on YouTube. We try to, well, we do release at least a video every other day relating to Alabama football, basketball, athletics, and recruiting. If you haven't already, make sure you leave your comments about your score predictions as well. Other than that, see you guys next episode and roll tide, JPC.
Tide's rolling in. Here comes the tide.